Our scripture reading this morning from the New Testament, from the Gospel according to Mark chapter 10. And we're going to read from verse 17 to 31 because this is really a discourse and an explanation, and you need to hear the full story. Now, I know we all know the story, but let's listen as if we're about to hear it for the first time. And the title that they give, now you need to know that titles are not always translated in all translations. It was added many, many years later after the original writings. But the title given to this Mark 10 is "To Enter God's Kingdom." To enter God's kingdom. As he went out into the street, a man came running up, greeted him with great reverence and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to get eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why are you calling me good? No one is good, only God. You know the commandments: don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, honor your father and mother." And he said, "Teacher, I have, from my youth, kept them all." Jesus looked him hard in the eye and loved him. He said, "Well, there's one thing left. Go sell whatever you own and give it to the poor. All your wealth will then be heavenly wealth. And come, follow me." The man's face clouded over. And this is the phrase that caught me many weeks ago. The man's face clouded over. This was the last thing he expected to hear. And he walked off with a heavy heart. He was holding on tight to a lot of things and not about to let go. Looking at his disciples, Jesus said, "Do you have any idea how difficult it is for people who have it all to enter God's kingdom?" The disciples couldn't believe what they were hearing. But Jesus kept on. "You can't imagine how difficult. I'd say it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for the rich to get into God's kingdom." And that set the disciples back on their heels. "Then who has any chance at all?" they asked. Jesus was blunt. "No chance at all if you think you can pull it off by yourself. Every chance in the world if you let God do it." Then Peter tried another angle. "We left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Mark my words. No one who sacrifices house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, land, whatever, because of me and the message will lose out. They'll get it all back, but multiplied many times in homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land, but also in troubles. And then the bonus of eternal life." This is once again the great reversal. Many who are first will end up last, and the last first. Here ends today's reading of Scripture. God is still speaking. May you and I discern God's voice in our hearts and our lives this very day, this very morning. At first glance, one could think that the narration that we just read is a good story of long ago. After all, we do know the story, don't we? We grew up with it. What's new, Pastor? Then we'd also say, well, I know the story well enough. It has very little value for our times. Times have changed. After all, most of us are not even rich at all. And the idea of giving everything we have to the poor in order to follow Jesus, what? It will soon have us begging on the streets. Now, obviously, we would say, that's not how things work anymore, if it ever did. It takes, my friends, brothers, sisters, it takes a lot of living to discover the real depth and importance of this story. Believe me. Yet when you and I begin to understand and accept this message, it begins to shine new light on the joy, the beauty, and the power of our faith. It actually gives away the secret of living. It challenges us, and it also helps us to evaluate or re-evaluate our faith, also our attitude towards life. And surely, it gives new meaning to being a Christian in 2009. What do we know about the story that happened more than 2,000 years ago? Well, we have better insight than he had, I know that. But we do know that this man's crossing of paths with the man from Nazareth was indeed a pivotal, a most important day in his life. Because that was the day when he was called upon to make a decision. And that decision would determine everything he said and did from that moment onwards in his life. It's now many centuries later. You and I are living different lives under different circumstances. Yet, we all know crossroads in our life. At times we do come to a point where there's clearly two ways, and we have to choose one. And if we think back, some of us made fatal choices at the day when we were challenged. And it's influenced our lives every day since then. It's happening. There may be people in church this morning who have come to a crossroad, a time of choice. And maybe you're going to make that choice here in the quiet of the sanctuary this very day. Let's face it. Possessions do play a very important part in our lives. We know it. Touch somebody's pocketbook and you're usually in trouble. It's amazing to see how many people would do almost anything. They will tell you any unbelievable story. They will lie, they will steal, they will ruin their lives, their marriages, their relationships with others, their sacrifice, their pride, their honor, anything just for money. An elderly man was on his deathbed. So he called his wife of many years to him, and he told her a secret. He said, "Honey, come here. I want you to go to the fireplace and take out that loose stone that you will see under the mantle." "What? Oh, my husband is dying." She did as instructed. And guess what? Behind that loose stone, when she had it out, she found a shoebox crammed full of cash. "What? Where does this come from?" She heard his weak voice. "That's all the money I've saved through the years," he said. Then he continued, "And when I go, I'm going to take it with me." "Darling, I want you to take that box up to the attic and I want you to set it by the window and I will get it as I go by on my way up to heaven. His wife followed his instructions, of course. It was a deathbed wish. And that night, the old man died. And several days after his funeral, his wife thought of the shoebox that she put up there. So once again, she climbed up to the attic and what? Of course, there it was, still full of money, sitting by the window. Oh, she thought, I knew it, I knew it. I should have put it in the basement instead of the attic. Of course, the story is anything but true. But it does make an excellent point. Recently, a very rich person died, and the question was asked, how much did she leave behind? Someone answered, everything. Every brass farthing. A wealthy man came to Jesus seeking the way to better life and future. Keep the commandments, Jesus said. Oh, I have, sir, I have. Since my youth. Ha ha. Righteous man, I've kept them all. You lack one thing. Go sell whatever you own and give it to the poor. All your wealth will then be heavenly wealth. And that's where the Bible says the man's face clouded over. Dictionary says if a person's face cloud over, they suddenly look unhappy or worried. This is not what he expected. After all, he just discovered that eternal life was not as cheap as he had hoped for. There was indeed a price to pay. What was happening here? Aha! You see the scale? Spiritual values or earthly riches? That was the choice that Jesus gave him. Choose spiritual values or earthly riches. And then we discover that spiritual values are indeed more worth than all earthly riches. Friends, there might be a misunderstanding in some of us. Eternal life is not something that happens the day when I die. It begins much earlier. When God becomes a reality in your life, a spiritual transformation begins, changing everything in our lives. When God speaks, we learn to listen. Jesus was offering the deal of a lifetime. And this exchange of values could have been the best exchange he ever made. His face clouded over. He turned it down. And there are faces in church that clouded over the inside. Don't come with that type of stuff. Well, I guess that's what the man said in his heart to Jesus. Why do you suppose his face clouded over? Why did he turn his back? Why did he go away? Because a few things are obvious. He wouldn't have gone to the trouble to come to Jesus if his life was not without fulfillment. If he was not aware of a deep emptiness inside. Augustine said, the God-shaped hole that we all carry deep within our souls, seeking fulfillment, a space that only God can fill. That was the choice. Oh yes, he was used to fine clothes. He stocked his wine cellar with fine wines. He richly decorated his home. He was accustomed to the best of everything. Something was missing. He was unhappy. He was unfulfilled. He missed something in life. And he knew that. And that brought him to Jesus. Well, he stated his need. He received a truthful answer. What did Jesus tell him? One phrase: rearrange your priorities. Rethink your priorities. There are things in life far more important than money. Get rid of the things that separate you from God, and you will receive a hundredfold return on your investment. Now, we do everything with polls in America. We don't know what to think before we turn on the television and see the polls say that. And then the announcers faithfully would say, that's what America thinks. We live by polls, sadly, and some of them contradict each other, don't trust them. But research concluded, when younger people was given a list of priorities, what they valued most in life, guess what come out on top? Financial success. Well, they must have been very young, because we who feel the creak in our bones, we can tell them there's things more important. But the poll came out, I want to be successful, and that success in life must be finances, so that I can buy me the world. And that could be the main reason why so many people find it so difficult to make a choice for the spiritual values that Jesus offered to this man the day when he arrived at the crossroads of his life. He was facing a choice, and the choice he made that day would determine everything in his life from that moment onward. Amazing the story. His face clouded over. He turned away and he disappears out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When advised to rearrange our priorities, we often only see one thing. What's going to cost me? What am I giving up? Do you ever ask, what will I be gaining? What will I get in exchange for my choice? People still overestimate the value of material things. And don't get me wrong, we do need to work for, and we do need to have financial security in a society like ours. We never want to be a burden on anybody. Never. That's not what Jesus is talking about. That's not the lesson from Scripture. Somebody recently said, well, having money is good, if only for financial reasons. And we can agree with some of that. But friends, possessions are only one element of a good life. And when possessions becomes an end in itself, then our entire lives get out of kilter. Possessions are a great servant. Possessions are a terrible master. Who own you? Your possessions? Or do you belong to God who bought you with a price? Many have learned the hard way that health is not the key to happiness. Money will buy a bed but not sleep, books but not brains, food but not appetite, finery but not beauty, a house but not a home, medicine but not health, amusement but not happiness. Money will buy you a crucifix, but it will never buy you a savior to bring you back to God. Once again, the decision is before us. Let not your face cloud over this time. The song of George Beverly Shea, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be a king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Once again, do you hear the quiet voice in the stillness of the morning? Jesus simply says, follow me.